You awaken, your eyes adjusting to the dark place where you have rested. You stretch as everything comes through in black and white. The walls smooth, supple, warm, of this prepared cave hollow where you rested. This place where once others lived. And now, having cleared out their treasure hoard, cleaned it, and placed comfortable cloth bedding in it, you have this place to roost, right on the edge of the shade lands where things get dangerous for anyone who isn't touched by the darker nature that you have absorbed. The dark is always waiting, just on the other side of a mirror, a skin's breadth away. And in your case, inside your skin as well. Mastery of anything takes time, perfection of any art. But to you, absorbing and then concealing yourself, using motes, tiny droplets, the smallest possible concoction of the dark energies which have corrupted so much of the populace in these lands. Using it to conceal yourself came naturally. So naturally that, at the place where the elven shapeshifters learn to incorporate these arts, you first got in trouble for being tardy to lessons, when it took a little too long for you to be noticed. And then your instructors gradually began marking you absent until, at your graduation ceremony, your name, and therefore your diploma, were skipped entirely. It is for this reason that you alone out of your sistren doesn't wear the insignia, the dark folds, the raven wings, and the small black jewel that is the mark of office, which others might have to show to get through guard posts or cordons in order to access places where shade-derived fury creatures have gone wild. You don't need any kind of badge, any kind of oath. You do your job and you do it well. But you do remember being seen, being heard. You remember your youth in the refuge camps where the Willow Maidens laid their magical protections to keep sirens at bay, to keep corrupted Fae from accessing you and the other elves, to ensure that you could all grow and thrive in your own way. You remember. You run your fingers over your body. Yours is the only touch you ever know. Others move around you or brush past you in crowds. You could stand the only other person in a room with someone, and they would never truly notice, never truly turn their gaze on you. And so, relationships, romance, intimacy, these things are for others. With your skills, you can walk right into blighted, shaded, darkness-infected lands. And with a deft dagger or the edge of one perfectly nimble hand, lay to rest creatures preparing to invade the rest of this place. You sometimes see patrols, your fellow graduates, and you lend them a hand, but they never know. What they do know is that the patches of darkness are, slowly, very slowly, it will take your many thousand-year lifespan to see them decrease by a few percent, but they are decreasing. And Nyx of the Silver Needle is to be credited with this. The name is really one you've given yourself, although you've seen it written down, so maybe it was some bard's invention. Or maybe one of the maidens tipped someone off, because in the dark, the monochromatic darkness, which is what you see when it's truly pitch black, as it is 30 meters into this cave and around a bend to your sleeping spot, in the darkness, you pick up a silver-white needle and thread from next to your bedroll, next to the mass of cushions that is your comfort in this world. You've stolen them, sure, but you left money. Is it really stealing if you always pay but never get a receipt? Anyway, you pick up the needle, the thread, the skein of cloth, black cloth. You've taken to making about a third of the dresses that you sew and assemble and leave out, about a third of the shawls, the garments, about a third of everything in this rich, silken black. After you saw that she had taken one of your black dresses and another, and then that the Willow Maidens had begun bringing them to her when they found out her preference. You wear white yourself. People wouldn't think an assassin would dress in white like that, but any trace of blood on your clothes might be smelled, any trace of dirt, and so you are immaculate. Your skin scrubbed clean, neutral oils laying over, the clothes washed or exchanged or made anew. Everything and anything you can do to strip yourself of any of the more mundane indicia of your presence. Magic can only do so much, but you remember. You remember being hunted under the eaves by a keen-nosed wolf who had no idea you were there, but who was more than willing to trace a bit of blood from one of his brethren very, very far through the woods, into your wrath and through the portal and back to here. And now, a pelt adorning the bed, and that is well enough. You would never have thought of eating meat, of wearing fur before, but something of living in the wilds has distanced you. You could never go back. Even if you could somehow switch your power off, be perceived, be touched. After all this, you could never go back, and so you make dresses, offerings, an anchor to a past when you thought you might be a seamstress, might be a tailor, might make things instead of unmaking them. And you take those offerings because you'll never forget the maidens sheltering you and yours when you were but a child. You'll never forget any of them, and so you leave the dresses as offering, and it's only a little bit from a partly lustful, partly worshipful motivation directed at one particularly severe and brusque willow maiden, so unlike her sisters. Mischievous, though, you've seen it twinkle in her eyes, watching from 100 meters away atop a tree, as she picked out the black dress for herself and handed the others to her sisters, and they were happy to just let her take what she wanted, then offer her the rest. And so, about a third of everything you make is in that lustrous black silk, touched and shaped by someone who understands pitch, dark, night. Your entire body tingles to complete the last stitch, a nice off-the-shoulder number, inlaid with dark pearls from the last time you went diving. Skinny dipping is still one of your pleasures, and it's not like anyone will see, but oh, you sometimes wish they would. Swimming off the cliffs, raising your legs, your arms above the water, flailing, amusing yourself, or doing those brilliant, long strokes you can perform, enjoying the water's kiss, looking down into the darkness and seeing deeper than anyone does and realizing it's not so bad down there. It's the forests just into the shaded land that have the real monsters. Everyone else is just people. And the maidens are building. They're building in a way you wished you could build once. Fortresses of protective trees woven together at the edge here. You saw her overseeing it once. There are places so bathed in light that you can't bear to step into them. It would almost burn your skin, even with the tiny bit of darkness in you, and that's for the best. It would never keep you out. You can jump over, you can dash through, because a momentary caress does nothing to you, and you can always imbibe more darkness if it's been dragged out. But here, in the dark, you remember the time that you hid 100 meters away and watched her take the dress. You set aside the materials you've been working on, for your fingers are starting to shake. One hand sliding down between your legs, yes, you remember. Watching her. Seeing her slip her clothes off right there, bared, radiant, and change immediately into the dress. Barefoot, laurels of red and brown leaves woven into her hair on that occasion. But she discarded them just there, in that black dress. A light beating off of her, as if she carried the heart of one of the trees they plant with her. As if the sun was on the other side of her. You don't look too much toward it. You try to look at sunlit places. It dulls your vision, interrupts your thoughts in the long, dark hunts. But you imagine that as the sun struck her, it cast behind her not a shadow, but a long pillar of light that touched a tree just a few over from yours, so long it was, and he wondered what would happen if you'd leapt down and stepped into the not a shadow, rather a prismatic focusing of light, like the sun passes through her and becomes something else. He wondered what would happen if you touched it and burned on your vision, into your brain, her breasts, the curve of her hips, her bare sex. You could see with your vision she was a little wet, but you know their magic, like almost all, does leave a little arousal as you touch the senses of the world. Yours certainly does. And arousal, undue, is not something you can afford to have clouding your thoughts during the hunt, or even when you take this dress to drop it off as an offering to the maidens. And so you slide your nimble fingers between your legs, find your clit, and begin to thrum your thumb on it, rapid, hard, one finger diving into your slit, your thighs clenching, the vision of her, of that maiden in your dress, as it caressed her skin, wishing you could, thinking of the silk on softness, thinking and expanding your potent senses. Smell of her hair, fresh washed, soaped, just like you, always clean, always fresh from a shower, always perfectly pristine, immaculate, but more. Maybe that's just the way she is. Maybe her body's just naturally, you inhale, your brain fills with herbs and spice, with soap, with clean water, which does have a scent flowing. Flowing over your fingertips, down your tongue, longing to drink and swallow. Some part of you, a part that even as you, in full mastery of your power, able as you are to lay anyone low, you would want to kneel for, to lick at her grail, to squeeze her thighs, to clench your own around your hand as you are now, twitching, vibrating, laying your many pillows and blankets into disarray in the darkness of the cave, bringing your glistening fingers up, sucking on them, imagining you were tasting her, your other hand sliding into place, diving two fingers within, your palm grinding on your clit as you clench thighs, as you rut and rub against yourself, mind fixating. Your body is a perfectly tuned instrument, and that means lots of nerve endings firing, active. The way you have learned to make your senses keen has also made your climactic, or your aroused, or your erogenous response too hot, too powerful. Your body's one, perhaps, weakness is that when you're particularly turned on and into the sex act, you can really drain, exhaust. And since you're doing it with yourself, you do have a number of toys, but just your hands to imagine hers. Just your caress to envision her touching, licking, tasting you as you, she, wanting to step into that light, wanting in some way to know that perhaps she only adorns herself with garments by you. You've never been so bold as to make a pair of lacy, comfortable underwear. You don't know if she even would ever wear them. She wasn't that day, but she'd been swimming as you had too, and you had watched her and followed, not in a creepy way, just, you know, you were in the same body of water, and there were sharks, but you weren't surprised when they stayed a good 100 feet away from either of you. Some quiet power there. You long to step in that light and be with, but really under. Licking, surrendering, your body shivers, you know your exhaustion will come, and using your own hands just feels right. Thrusting in and out of yourself, fingers searching, probing, the unnatural, prehensile nature of your digits, letting you roll them into a spot behind your clit while still rubbing it with your palm, the way that you can move your body. No one else can, and the things your body feels, you imagine no one else is quite as exposed and raw, as tuned in. As lust takes over, invading every synapse, your whole body shudders. Something in the darkness in you enhances the motion as it passively enhances all things. Shuddering, squeezing, spasming, grabbing a pillow, shoving it between your legs, moving your hand, sucking your fingers clean, grinding and squeezing hard on it. Your pussy rubbing, rubbing, friction bringing the climax. Your whole body contorts, you grab handfuls of blanket, desperate. You imagine her body clad in lingerie, lingerie of your making. You imagine her directing you between her legs again to that grail you've seen. What happens when light passes through, touches, even barely touches her body. You imagine her juices on your tongue, singing honeyed down your throat, your entire brain aflame, coming, coming, spasming, shivering, climaxing, knowing that you will spend a long time orgasmically, desperately seeking a moment's rest from your own need to touch, from the visions that haunt, so that you can be clear-headed when you drop off your offering, and then go on your next hunt.